Good morning. Welcome to the St. Petersburg Innovation District's fourth Morning Sparks. My name is Allison Barlow, and I'm the CEO of the Innovation District. We're excited to have you with us this morning. Today's topic, the future of innovation districts, is a timely topic as our Innovation District approaches its 10th anniversary next year. This program was made possible by the support of the ARC Innovation Center and the use of their wonderful space. I'm particularly pleased to have Becca Brown, the new CEO, with us today. Before we jump into the topic and the discussion, I'd like to take a few minutes to set the context for today. Our world is rapidly evolving in ways we are all grappling to understand and embrace. These advances, many technology-driven, are changing the way we operate our businesses, receive services, or think about our built environment. As a partner of the Innovation District, you play a unique role for our community, exploring and harnessing the potential of these advancements. Last year, we launched a quarterly breakfast series called Morning Sparks. The purpose has been to explore emerging technologies and ideas, invite district partners to share their current related efforts, and engage in thoughtful and hopefully spirited discussions about the future opportunities for St. Pete. So far, we've discussed artificial intelligence, future air mobility or air taxis, and new concepts in urban design. Each time we come together, we focus on a single emerging technology or concept. These are selected with an eye towards topics that have broad implications across sectors and geographies. Today's topic, the future of innovation districts. The future topics may include deepfakes, data visualizations, or concepts one of you propose. We'll begin today's Morning Spark with a brief presentation. In the style of our annual Data Science and our monthly Hub Tech Exchanges, this presentation will be short and hopefully thought-provoking. Then we'll turn the discussion over to all of you, the audience. Together, we'll explore the implications for the future and our next steps. I hope that one of three outcomes happen for you today. You learn something new, you find a potential opportunity, a new partner, new collaboration, and you help envision the future for St. Pete and the Innovation District. Today, we'll begin with a brief presentation and what I like to call the Innovation Igniter, something to get your ideas flowing. Typically, we invite a single speaker to do this presentation, but today we're going to be a bit more creative. We're going to lean on several individuals to share the story. The Innovation District story will be in four parts over the next few minutes. We'll begin with part one, what is an innovation district? Part two, the origins of our district. Part three, what is happening today? And part four, insights about the future of innovation districts internationally. Let's begin. Part one, what is an innovation district? An innovation district is a geographical area where leading-edge institutions and companies cluster together. They typically cluster with startups, business incubators, and accelerators, and are often in an urban setting that's walkable, transit-accessible, and rich in amenities. Key characteristics of innovation districts are first and foremost proximity, dense and compact layout encouraging face-to-face interaction. Second is collaboration, strong ties between universities, research institutions, private sector, and public entities. Third is mixed-use development, blend of residential, commercial, cultural, and recreational spaces. Fourth is technology and knowledge-driven, focus on industries like biotech, software, clean energy, artificial intelligence. And fifth characteristic is infrastructure. High-speed internet, labs, co-working spaces, and access to capital. These are all important characteristics and many that we can trace to the St. Pete Innovation District. Next, we're going to talk a little bit about the origin of our district. The vision for the Innovation District began long before its official launch in 2016. For years, passionate individuals and forward-thinking organizations from across the community came together. They were united by a shared ambition to transform this area into a vibrant hub of innovation. Their collaborative efforts lay the groundwork for what is to come. Building on this momentum, the city took the lead to formally establish a district, turning vision into action and aspiration into reality. I'd like to play for you now the Origins video. This was done in 2016 as the district was launched. I'll make a quick editorial comment. It is from 2016. So there are a few ideas that are mentioned in the video that have since evolved, but it's very much relevant for today.
Hi, I'm Peter Kageyama. I'm the author for The Love of Cities and the follow-up Love Where You Live. I talk about love and emotional engagement and why it's a good thing for people like you to fall in love with the city that they live in. And this is St. Pete in Progress.
Hi, I'm Mayor Rick Kreisman, and I'm here today with my Deputy Mayor, Dr. Kanika Tomlin, and we're here to talk to you a little bit about innovation districts. You know, Kanika, back in 2012, and during the time I was running for office, I talked a lot about research parks, and research parks and innovation districts really are the same thing. Can you tell us a little bit about why innovation districts are important to a community and the impact that they can have?
Innovation districts can be a game changer for a community, certainly for its economy, because they focus on like-minded institutions coming together to set the standard for advancement, not only for their sectors, but as a cluster and a group. They create jobs at every level of the economy along the continuum. They really catalyze reinvestment and just bring a great energy and connectivity to an area.
Innovation districts are incredibly important. But they're not just about the main assets that we typically would think about, you know, like the institutes, the hospitals, the higher education. They're about the collisions of people and ideas. So it's not just about having, you know, these great institutions, which we clearly do have. It's building an infrastructure with an intention of actually getting people to sort of interact with each other, to share those ideas, and to come together and create something that is new and different and exciting.
The St. Pete Innovation District represents an impressive array of organizations that make up marine and life sciences, business incubation, communications, and economic development organizations, as well as higher education. While innovation districts are being deployed throughout the United States, none of them have the emphasis between marine science and life science that the St. Pete Innovation District has.
We have world-class research-oriented healthcare providers on the same corridor as a great university and marine research and other research such as SRI, which comes out of Stanford, and they all are doing amazing things in their respective industries, but have a convergence around the concept of warm, salty, wet, and that's the research that happens in the environment of the water and in the environment of human biology labs. And what can happen between those two really is uncharted territory.
As we're sitting here on a research vessel and we look out and the water that you just described is here, the marine science research and what we have right back behind us with life sciences.
You know, Johns Hopkins' footprint really is confined to Baltimore, the only other place in the world that they have a significant footprint is here with our pediatric hospital, All Children's. And that's great. That means that we have world-class scientists coming here every day to advance their research, really celebrate discovery, and incentivize the next level of thought leadership. And that's what the Innovation District is about more than anything.
Members of the St. Pete Innovation District share collaboration on intellectual capital, on the creation of a sense of place, and on a shared set of goals and mission.
Placemaking is incredibly important. We are in a global war for talented, creative, innovative people. And talented, creative, innovative people have choices. They can live lots of different places. So when they choose to live in St. Pete, it's not just going to be because they found a great job. We also have a fantastic lifestyle here as well, great amenities. It's the kind of place that you just want to be in.
Having strong education and background and as a part of that, and we have USF St. Pete right here as a part of it.
School of Business, for example, is one of the great advancements that we look forward to. We're just on the cusp of what this community can expect. You know, one of the things that I know that you're working very hard on is the redevelopment of the Tropicana Field site.
Having that 70 to 86 acres that we can also redevelop as a part of this innovation district. Sounds like it gives us opportunities that a lot of other communities just don't have.
The city of St. Petersburg has been a leader in bringing the organizations that represent the Innovation District together to create a joint mission, to create goals, to further the objectives of those organizations, not only individually, but together as a cohesive district itself.
We have a huge step forward on a lot of the other communities against which we're competing as it relates to Innovation Districts, because many of them are starting with a concept. Ours happened organically over the course of more than a century. St. Pete decided to build an innovation district through an investment in organizations like Bayfront Health, like USF St. Pete, like All Children's Hospital. And the result is that we are all ready to hit the ground running.
It's not just what we do in the laboratory, in the office, in the studio. You know, we have a life outside of that. And these talented, creative people that we're trying to lure here, they recognize, you know what, I am not just my work. So I have to have other things that inspire me as well. And when you create a great place, like we obviously have here in St. Petersburg, you're going to do very well in terms of attracting that type of talent.
The jobs alone that will be created and the opportunities that will spring forth from this district are just really inspiring. And it gives people a great reason to come. The people who live in St. Pete can expect great amenities to follow the development, say, of the research center that All Children's is building, or the new business school, or the many other developments that we know are sure to come.
You've been watching St. Pete in Progress, and the sun shines here.
Now let's talk about where we are today. The district is shaped like a triangle adjacent in downtown St. Pete. The shape is caused by water on one side, Tampa Bay, and the neighborhoods on the surrounding other sides. The intent is not to overlap with our five surrounding neighborhoods, but to be adjacent. The district is anchored by a number of strong, well-established organizations, both within its boundaries and in the surrounding areas. Their presence provides stability, leadership, and momentum for our continued growth. Pulling excerpts from our 2024 impact report gives us a little insight into the progress of the district to this date. The district has assets valued at $1.38 billion. It's 560 acres or less than 1 square mile. It's one of the larger innovation districts in the world, but we make up less than 1% of the city. With that in mind, however, we are 7% of the city's jobs, and our median salary is more than the city. That is a testament to the science and technology careers in the district. Our focus is on economic development, and that goes beyond just creating jobs and attracting investment. We're equally committed to fostering the intellectual energy that drives innovation. What sets us apart is our dedication supporting ideas behind the growth. From grants that fuel collaborative ventures and community-engaged research, to copyrights and patents that signal breakthrough thinking. The balance of economic opportunity and intellectual pursuit is what truly powers and sustains our innovation district. As we consider the future, there are three ideas we, the Innovation District team, have been contemplating, and we want to share them with you. First is a question of our coastal geography. We are unique in our ocean-based expertise, capabilities, and opportunities that is something we should lean into as an innovation district. Another thing that we're considering is the pivot from industry focus to emerging and converging technologies focus. Technology that actually runs across industries, from defense to life science to marine science. Technologies like artificial intelligence, robotics, and other types of emerging opportunities. And the third thing to consider is how we might leverage and maximize our regional innovation ecosystem. Some districts in Europe are now focusing on constellations, where there's an innovation district and hubs similar to a hub and spoke model. There's lots of opportunities that we can consider as we move forward. Now let's talk about the future. I had an opportunity to attend the International Summit of Innovation Districts earlier this year. I was in a room with 49 other districts from around the world. Some were younger than us and some were much more mature. The event was led by a rock star in the innovation district research world, Julie Wagner. Two of the most interesting sessions that Julie led during the summit was a discussion about the intersection of innovation districts as hyper-local, having a direct and immediate impact on the community in which they sit, while recognizing the importance of collaborations intersections that they provide around the world. How do we take the depth of expertise and ideas and connect them to impactful opportunities elsewhere? The second discussion dovetails with that concept. What is the unique value proposition of each innovation district? What does it bring to the global stage that is different and leads to greater opportunities in the future? We wanted to share a bit of Julie's perspective on both these topics. This brief video will be enlightening for our conversation. We're jumping into the middle of a longer video, so the first statements by Julie are wrapping up the characteristics of innovation districts, and then she moves into the hyper-local global idea.
One of those factors contributing to the growth of this of innovation districts, largely in cities or in areas that are thinking about how to increase the density, accessibility, and proximity. So we see this hyper-local phenomenon. Now you take that, and what we really see when we look at the data, so in the middle of this map, you actually have one innovation district in Amsterdam, and we looked at all the relationships that those institutions, we just use them as the proxy, to look at who they're connecting with, who they're conducting research with, who they're collaborating with, who they're writing joint publications with, who they're citing, and it is an incredibly global story. Their strength is both a global and hyper-local story occurring at the same time, which is really interesting because you can see over time as we start to track who's citing who and how those are getting connected and how different research is changing and influencing what's getting commercialized, we can see an interesting feedback loop. So we like to play on this global and hyper-local phenomenon and really encourage districts in our research to be looking at and valuing both. Now you take that image and you put it against this image, which looks very different. And this is analysis by Richard Florida and Ian Hathaway in 2018. The data still holds even today, which is that the largest majority of VC investment is still hyper-concentrated in just a few metropolitan areas. So here we have this interesting phenomenon of great innovation happening, a lot of collaborative innovation, a lot of people working together to start sorting out very complex problems. But then we have a concentration effect of VCs. So it is pushing a lot of these places that are in the gray to be thinking about how do we create enough density, critical mass, set of activities to draw new attention and new investors toward us. Innovation districts is one of those strategies, which is to concentrate, grow, and then spread with success. So these are some of the districts that we've been tracking. The ones that are bright yellow are ones that are connected with us, where we're providing empirical analysis to help push with their agenda. And then the others are where we've been connecting, providing light support where we can. And the aim here really is how these places can feed off of each other, push each other, help each other to accelerate ahead in ways that they value, very, very much rooted in values, what matters to us. And so when we At Brookings, when we evaluated these districts, knowing how different they are, some are so strong in robotics, others in oncology and genetics, I mean, just entirely different stories, we did see a common trend where they all had sort of these important assets coming together and playing a central role. So it's not just focusing on the economic, and it's not just focusing on that physical, like I talked about earlier in my first slide. Instead, what we're seeing is, and looking at how they're spending time and resources, tremendous amount of energy being paid to building relationships, informal and formal network building. A lot of time is being invested here. And this includes engaging residents, neighborhoods, and communities that are often right there or even within these districts. So we find this really interesting. And then we also find what's so interesting is this desire on the part of sets of these districts to understand their economic strengths, although it could be those R&D clusters, and saying, how do we make this bigger? How do we make it more magnetic? How do we create the critical mass? So thinking about how to transform that physical landscape to be in the service of these greater other ambitions. This is what we're capturing and codifying and basically turning it back out to say, this is what we're finding about you all. So we started with this sort of simple Venn diagram, and as the years progressed with additional analysis, a lot more work on the ground, we started to layer in very specific strategies and a framework, if you will, for how districts are looking at themselves in a holistic way, but through several different kinds of lenses. We talked about quality place, that's that one in the yellow. But how to really understand where you're specialized and what does that look like? And is that a competitive advantage? Is that a comparative advantage? Where are you? Building critical mass is one of those fundamental aims that's to build and grow in a very strong, orchestrated way that strengthens the ecosystem, that importantly blends and balances with the physical moves and strategies. My last comment before moving on is this purple ring that connects all of them. This is, if I had to pick one thing, right, one item to focus on, it would be this. You could be starting with an organic set of strengths and actors that are just have come together over the years, but to move to that next level requires a level of intensity and intentionality, where it's developing visions, detailed ambitions, working across actors, working across sectors, to create a narrative that is across the district, that's more horizontal. That takes work. And so we call that organizing for success.
Now it's time for all of the folks in the room to get involved in the discussion. For those of you listening online, this is where we leave you. I hope that these ideas have sparked a new concept, something to think about, and maybe an opportunity for you in the future. The Innovation District looks forward to its 10th anniversary next year, and we hope you'll come to one of our events.